Maundy, Thursday night for our worship service. We welcome you to worship with us this evening. And as we continue in worship, let's go to God in prayer. Eternal God, in the sharing of a meal, your Son established a new covenant for all people. And in the washing of feet, he showed us the dignity of service. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these signs of our life and faith may speak again to our hearts, feed our spirits, and refresh our bodies. Amen.
Please join with us at home as we sing our hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all life receive. Suddenly return and nevermore thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Cast our crowns on wrongs before thee, lost in wonder, love, and
my sisters and brothers, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. Let us draw near to God and confess our sin in the truth of God's Spirit. Most merciful God, we, your church, confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ. Where we have failed to love one another as he loves, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him, forgive us, we pray. And by your Spirit, make us faithful in every time of trial through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. This evening, as we come to the time of sharing in prayer, we have an opportunity to pray for one another, and so let us offer our prayers for the needs of the church and the world to God who has given new life in Christ's passage through death. This night we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this evening for Miss Ernestine and Miss Violet, Mr. Ed, Peter, Flora, June, and Marion. For all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19, for all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For Mike, Kristen, and Andrew, for Vivian, for Miss Betty and the death of her cousin Mary, for Barbara, for Christy, for Randy, a co-worker of Larry Lott, for Paul and his family in the death of his daughter, for Linda and Bill as Linda recovers from surgery, for all healthcare workers, for our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families this night. By the blood of the covenant and the waters of baptism, O God, you cleansed us from sin and made us one in Christ. Receive these prayers that by the power of your Spirit we may love our brothers and sisters even as Christ has loved us. And as he taught us, so now we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Please join with me in singing the hymn, Make Me a Servant.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and verses 31 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, Not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And continuing with verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Every year as we approach this night and as we have the opportunity to look at this text being those that represent the Last Supper, whether it's from John's Gospel or one of the other three, it's always truly an amazing thing to me that Judas is at the table at this meal. That Judas is at the table on this night. So no matter what version of the Gospels you read, Judas doesn't leave to betray Christ until after Jesus' acts of covenant making. Judas doesn't leave before the Lord's Supper is instituted in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And just as we read here in John's Gospel, Judas doesn't leave before Jesus stoops down to wash the disciples' feet. This inclusion of Judas points to the radical nature of forgiveness that Jesus is instituting. Jesus, in John's Gospel in particular, seems to know that Judas is up to something, that something is going on with Judas. He seems to know that Judas plans to betray him. He, in John's Gospel in particular, he seems to have this knowledge more clearly even than he does in the other three Gospel accounts. But nonetheless, Jesus doesn't send Judas out first and then wash everyone else's feet. Jesus washes Judas's feet too. And not just Judas's, but also Peter's, who will deny him, and all of the other disciples who will abandon him before the next day is done. See, Jesus doesn't make their actions central or necessary for him to adopt the posture of service, love, and forgiveness. Jesus doesn't say to the disciples, "You all haven't done enough for me to stoop down and wash your feet." Jesus doesn't say, "I know what you're about to do, and therefore I'm not going to offer you this act of service unless you promise not to." Jesus doesn't make that a piece of what he does here. He knows that they are going to exclude themselves from his presence in just a little while. He knows that Judas is going to betray him and exclude Judas's very self and very being from the fellowship of the disciples hereafter. But nonetheless, he includes Judas and the others at the table. You see, we often exclude ourselves from Jesus's service, love, and forgiveness towards us, but Jesus never excludes us. Jesus doesn't make the disciples' actions or intentions central or necessary for him to adopt the posture of service, love, and forgiveness, and he doesn't make ours central either. Jesus offers the disciples this foot washing without comment or explanation. He just gets up from the table and takes off his outer robe and wraps a towel around his waist and stoops down and starts to wash their feet with the towel and the basin. He doesn't offer a comment. He doesn't tell them what he's going to do. He just does it. He doesn't predicate anything with it. He doesn't make anything contingent on it. He just starts to serve. And he doesn't even offer anything and doesn't seem to intend to until Peter starts to question what he's doing. Peter starts to question what he's doing, and then and only then do we get any explanation about what Jesus has in mind, about what Jesus is thinking in this act of foot washing, because he has to stop and correct Peter. It's not a first for Peter. It won't be a last for Peter either. He has to stop and correct Peter, because first Peter wants to tell Jesus that Jesus won't wash his feet. Peter wants to tell Jesus what Jesus will and will not do. In this moment, he says, "You're not washing my feet, Jesus." So Jesus has to explain to Peter, has to correct Peter. He's got to go through this one twice. He has to tell Peter that Peter needs his feet washed like everybody else to have a share with Christ. Peter's not any better or worse than any of the other disciples sitting at that table or any of the other disciples that will come after him. He needs his feet washed just like everybody else. And see, once Jesus gets that through to Peter, that he's got to have his feet washed in order to have this share with Christ, then Peter all of a sudden switches. He swings all the way to the other side. He goes all the way to the other extreme. He wants him to wash him completely, my head and my hands, my feet, everything. Just make sure I'm completely covered. So Jesus explains. Then again, he's got to stop and explain to Peter. He explains again that Peter is clean. It's not about getting him all the way clean. He's clean because he's bathed, but his feet have gotten dirty on the journey, and they need to be washed. You see, it's not their cleanliness that determines Jesus' action in this moment. They're already clean because they have bathed. This includes Judas in this moment. We're already forgiven because we have been baptized. We've died to our sin in the waters of baptism. We are already clean because we have been washed in the waters of baptism. It's not about the disciples' cleanliness in this moment that determines Jesus' action, and yet their feet still need to be washed because of the journey. Their feet still need to be washed because of what they've picked up on the way to the Last Supper. In our ongoing life of faith, we mess up. We sin. We offend one another. We hurt one another. We have continuing need for confession and forgiveness. We don't do what God expects of us. We don't live into our discipleship fully. And so in this ongoing life of faith, our feet get dirty sometimes on the journey. You see, so often we are like Peter, swinging between the two extremes. We're either telling Jesus he won't wash our feet, and this one is tricky, because we either are telling Jesus he won't wash our feet because we think we're too unworthy to have Jesus wash our feet, that we should be washing his feet. And maybe that's a part of it, but there's also this other side of the coin where sometimes some of us also get it in our head that we don't need Jesus to wash our feet because we don't think we need it at all. I hadn't done anything. I'm innocent. I have nothing to be forgiven for. I have nothing to confess. I have no need for Jesus to wash my feet. We vacillate between those two sometimes, all of us at certain points. Some are more likely to tend one way or the other, and we're on that pendulum where we don't think Jesus needs to wash our feet, or then we swing and we decide that we just need to start all over and be washed all over again, doubting the promises of our baptism. In the Methodist Church, my belief is, and this is the belief of the Methodist Church, is that rebaptism is unnecessary. There's no need to ever be rebaptized because God doesn't make mistakes. We have been washed. We have been forgiven. If you've been baptized once, you have been baptized forever. And there's no need for another one. But sometimes we get it in our minds that the first one didn't take and we just need to be washed all over again, when really we just need Jesus to wash our feet. We need to admit that our feet have gotten dirty on the journey. We need to admit that we still mess up. We need to admit and confess. Because in response to our extremes of either telling Jesus that he won't do this or saying, Jesus, please just go ahead and wash all of me all over again, in response to our extremes, Jesus responds by inviting us to experience life another way, his way, to have our feet washed, and not only that, but to wash the feet of others. He gives us this power, this ability to wash the feet of others. And then he asks us, he says, do you know what I have done to you? When he's washed their feet at the table, when he's washed our feet, when he has pulled us into his life of service and love and forgiveness, he asks us, he looks at us, and he says, do you know what I have done to you? He who we call Lord and Savior, Son of God, Teacher, Master, has washed our feet. He's served us in one of the most humble and mundane of actions in his day. He stooped down and washed the muck and mire of life, of the journey of getting to the Last Supper off the feet of the disciples. He's washed our feet and then called us to do the same. Do you know what I have done to you? He says, I've washed your feet, and now you should wash one another's feet. And when he says one another's feet, he doesn't just mean people who we like or people who we might not like in the future. Because remember, Judas is still at the table when he tells the disciples they need to wash one another's feet. Judas is still sitting there. Peter is still sitting there, the one who will deny. All of them are still sitting there who will abandon him shortly. They're supposed to come back together and wash one another's feet if they possibly can, if they can come back and not keep excluding themselves from this life with Christ. He calls them to do the same, not just to the people that they like, not just to the people in the church, not just to the people who are our family or friends, not just to people who don't betray, deny, or abandon, but to everyone. He says, you are called to serve one another. Everyone you meet, you are called to serve one another. Do you know what I've done to you? Tells us that he's called us to show love and forgiveness in service. Sometimes correcting, sometimes explaining why we're doing what we're doing and why it matters, but always adopting the posture of love and forgiveness in service. Don't lose that piece. Jesus serves, and then in the midst of serving, he has to explain to Peter why he's serving the way he's serving. And then he tells us, go and serve one another the same way. Love one another the same way. The service and love of Jesus includes correction and explanation. He calls us to show love and forgiveness in service, always adopting this posture that places us in this position of love and forgiveness in service, so that when we hear Jesus tell us to love one another as he loves us, we'll know that the love that he's talking about is an action. It's an act of service, not an idea. It's an act of forgiveness, not predicated on worthiness. Jesus asks us, do you know what I have done to you? What has Jesus done to us this night? He has made us and is making us and will continue to make us servants of love and forgiveness for the world. Even this very night, when before it's over, we will all have betrayed, abandoned, and denied him, he washes our feet, offering us the grace we need to join him in ministry and service to others on the other side of the resurrection, to love one another as he loves us. What has Jesus done to us? He's given us what we need to be like him. Thanks be to God for this act of grace, for his willingness to stoop down, to wash our feet, and to explain why it's necessary. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, I hope you'll join me, this evening, I hope you'll join me in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You are invited this evening to offer tithes and offerings back to the Lord. We come now to the time where I ask you to go ahead and prepare your offerings to the Lord, to get them ready. However you plan to give, you can give online on our website at gracecolumbia.org. The online giving link is either on the left-hand side of the page if you're on a desktop or laptop, or it's at the bottom of our mobile website page. And so you can scroll down, find our online giving tab that way. You can schedule a gift for the future. You can schedule a recurring gift, or you can give one time, and we invite you to utilize that tool. You can also continue to mail in your offerings and send them to the church directly. We're checking the mail currently and continue to receive those from those who are mailing them in, and we appreciate it very much. You can also drop them by the church and put them in the mailbox, and we'll retrieve them that way. If you want to save a stamp on an essential trip out when you're coming near the church, you can swing it by yourself. This evening, I want to just take a minute as you're preparing your offering just to offer a word of celebration. I just want to celebrate and thank the Congregation of Grace for their grace towards me. For all of you who've been worshiping with us online, as we've figured out and I've figured out how to be an online pastor, I appreciate all the grace I can get from all of you, and you've been so forgiving and gracious towards me as we've figured out how to do this together, how to figure out how to do church at a social distance. And so I praise God for you this night and offer my thanks and praise, at least for me and on behalf of the others who are here as well, for the ways that y'all continue to come and worship with us every time we gather in this peculiar kind of way. Would you pray with me this night? Loving God, you take good care of us in more ways than we know. Your personal love is reflected in the kindness of Jesus, who washed the feet of his disciples. May our congregation show your love to one another and our neighbors through practical deeds of mercy. Make us willing to get our hands dirty in assisting others. Help us to discover joy in giving our time and money. We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble.